It's time for Batter Up, the definitive Atlanta Braves podcast with hosts Joe Patrick and Caleb Johnson, giving you exclusive insight into our Braves from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Joe and Caleb.
Welcome into Batter Up. Caleb Johnson in with my co-host Joe Patrick on this May the 4th. So I get to, of course, make the lame May the 4th be with you, Joe Patrick. How are you?
There it is. I'm good. Yeah. It's a little bit of a whirlwind. I think my head is spinning from this last week of Braves baseball, especially considering the fact that we've played more games than we have days, obviously, with a doubleheader yesterday, and just the results are all over the place. So it's been a really weird week, I feel like, to kind of cap off a really weird kind of first month, close to a first month of the baseball season this year. It's been a weird one.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, and also, you know, you talk about it feeling, you know, whirlwind-like and all of those sorts of things. I mean, Joe, as we are recording on Wednesday after the Braves have finished out their series with the Mets, the Braves and Mets played four games in less than 48 hours. Insanity. I mean, just the fact, so many games scrunched together. You and I were talking, of course, off the pod about why on earth they didn't try to spread this thing out a little bit better, even just time-wise, Why did the Braves not, Braves and Mets, why did they not play at 7 o'clock tonight? I know the Mets have a game on Thursday. The Braves don't. It feels like a lot. And yet, I guess you can call it a success. This wasn't a successful road trip, but as we come after the series has ended, it at least doesn't feel so defeatist as it did a day ago, which is really bizarre. And I kind of feel like this is where we've been this entire time with this Braves team, of just here we go again. This team's terrible. And then the next day we're not too bad.
It's like a roller coaster of emotions, man, because they come off of, first of all, okay, so they come off of winning a series, finally winning their first series, their first rubber match against the Cubs, right? Then they go to Texas, a series you think they should be winning against the Rangers. They win the first one. You're feeling good. They drop two in a row to the Rangers to end that series. So you're all pissed off. Then they go to the, and that's ahead of a huge series, obviously, against the Mets. They go to the Mets here. They win the first game. Then you're feeling good again. You're like, all right, we won the first game. Let's split in the doubleheader tomorrow and at least give ourselves a chance to win the series. And then they get swept in the doubleheader. So then you're feeling all bad again, going into a day game after a doubleheader, and Ronald Acuna, can he play? And all this stuff. Then they go out and win today, 9-2. I don't know what to think about this team, man. It's honestly kind of pissing me off. There's bit of consistency with this team right now.
And here's the other part about what's going on with this Braves team is, when it comes from a fan perspective, most likely whatever you as a fan think about this team is right. If you're willing to go, oh, this team's terrible. Yeah, you're not exactly wrong. If you're one of those going come on, it's early in the season, things can turn around, you're not wrong. If you're going, look at what they did last year, the possibility exists they could do that again, you're not necessarily wrong. If you're one of those going, they're losing important games right now that they're not going to be able to make up later in the season, you're probably not wrong. It's one of those. It is just so bizarre, and it makes it so difficult for us to talk about this team, because whatever we say in this probably will be moot by next week. That potential exists of being come on, don't count them out, sort of thing. That could be completely wrong. Or going, I don't know, this, I smell danger is mm-hmm. another one that you're just, I don't know.
I feel like it's one of those things where you talk about teams finding their identity or having an identity and kind of knowing what teams need to do on a consistent basis to win games. And at this point in the season with the Braves, I don't know if they have an identity. I don't know what the identity of this team is. Is it, are they driven by their starting pitching? Are they driven by their offense? You know, is it still the bullpen? You know, there's of course all the three of those, you know, aspects of the team come into every game, but there's just nothing to really hang your hat on with this team so far this season, as opposed to, you know, the second half of last year, you, especially after that trade deadline when they started heating up and they started playing a lot better, you really could hang your hat on specific things and specific players to be able to perform down the stretch. And just right now, it's a total scattershot of what you might get from game to game. I mean, there's a couple consistent players. Kyle Wright's been good. We'll talk about him. I mean, we'll talk about a lot of players today, but there haven't been too many for the Braves that have just been solid, you know, from the beginning of the season to now. And it's only been a month. You know, you would think that you would have a little bit more consistency, but I mean, that's just how it's been so far this year. So,
yeah. Well, so record wise, Braves are 12-15 at this point. A week ago, their average play was good enough to be second in the division. They are now fourth. Obviously, I know we haven't played that many games, and they are six games behind the Mets, which, thank goodness, they didn't lose any more games in the series. You know, thankfully, they split with the Mets, who the Mets have not... They've won every series they played so far this year. So it was like, I mean, something worth counting, the fact that the Braves were at least able to, you know, to come out with a split. The strange thing is, when you look at, like, stats in the National League, I pulled this up, and this just doesn't make sense with how the Braves are playing. The Braves, before today's game, are first in the National League with 30 home runs. They're first in the National League with 79 extra base hits. They're first in the National League in average exit velocity. And they're second in the National League in hard hit percentage. So it's like, you see those things and you're thinking, ah, I mean, you know, Braves must be playing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I can't call what this team is doing right now playing well. Like, it's inconsistent. It's the only word that comes to mind when it comes to them.
And it's even more striking, those numbers that you referenced, Caleb, and those are, you know, very interesting numbers. Because it I still get this feeling with this team where it's like, if they get down by three runs, it's kind of over, you know, like you don't really have a lot of hope that they're going to be able to come back. And they've played a lot of games where they only score one or two runs, you know, and that's just ugly baseball to try to watch. And I kind of feel for fans trying to, you know, plow through it.
And it also, I mean, some of this stuff does come down to managerial decisions of Brian Snicker kind of being set in his ways about how he wants to use the bullpen. Of course, you can always make the point of Brian Snicker being set in his ways, managed to win a World Series last year. So I get all of those sorts of things. However, you see some of the moves that he makes as far as it looks like he pulls the plug on games when they're still manageable. I mean, you see similar thing like Buck Showalter today sending out Adam Ottavino for a third straight day. Is that thought process of like, well, I want to send out my best, you know, some of my best relievers in a close game, and then it backfires and the Braves, you know, have an absolute bomb fest in an inning and score a bunch of runs. So it's just inconsistencies from managerial decisions too that I don't know where to go. And that's even before you get to Ronald Acuna.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading through some Braves notes right here, and yesterday in the doubleheader, when they lost one of the games 3-0 in the nightcap, that was the 15th time this season that the Braves have scored three or fewer runs in a game, and that's tied for the most in the major leagues. So, despite the fact that they're hitting the ball hard, they've, you know, lead major leagues in home runs, all this stuff, all these offensive numbers that you would think would contribute to, you know, a very potent offense, they really haven't been. I mean, they in you know, almost half their game, more than their half their games, they're scoring three or fewer runs, you know, which is just crazy to, like, I'm even, my brain's going to go in haywire trying to, you know, square these two things. But I think it just speaks to this inconsistency and the fact that it's almost like if, you know, they're either scoring a bunch of runs or they're not scoring many at all, which is just a frustrating thing to try to watch as a fan.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, from the fan perspective, you continue to get guys talking about what's going on with this baseball and the fact that it seems like no one in Major League Baseball is a big fan of it right now. I heard, I forgot who it was now, because last week it was Chris Bassett, who had the big comments about the balls being inconsistent. Somebody this past week said that hitting the baseball was like hitting a pile of wet socks. Like, that's how he... That was the yeah, that was like the way they tried to put it into something physical for us to think about as a way of, you know, I mean, guys are hitting the ball as hard as they have been in past history, and the ball's not traveling as far. So that when you think about, like, the Braves not scoring runs, I mean, that's something that is somewhat happening across the board as far as teams not scoring. I still don't think that plays as much into what's going on with the Braves, because I mean, that's going to affect everybody, and it's just not, you know, like, it's not making that big of a difference just for the Braves.
I was gonna say, yeah, and the Braves, they struck out 17 times in that doubleheader, and coming into today's game, that meant that they led the major leagues with 235 strikeouts, and that's obviously been an issue with several guys in this lineup: Adam Duvall, Dansby Swanson. But it also just makes it really hard to, you know, get things going when you're just making so many unproductive outs. Yes, sometimes strikeouts can be kind of overemphasized, like they're not as terrible sometimes as people make them out to be, but also if you're leading the majors in strikeouts, then you're just limiting, you know, productive outs and those kinds of things that can be small. And I know that a lot of people like to kind of poo-poo these things, but you know, it makes a big impact when your team is striking out as much as the Braves. And also, just another stat to throw out there, yesterday when they lost that game 3-0, it marked the fourth time this season the Braves have lost a game despite allowing three runs or less, which is also tied for the lead, tied for the most in the National League. So just like a lot of weird results for this team so far this season.
Yeah. Well, now let's go. Something that's been thrown on top of everything else is... About a week ago, we got the surprise announcement that Ronald Acuna going to be back up with the Braves. You and I were at that first game that he played in, and you know, all the smiles that you saw from him, the excitement from the clubhouse, and you know, we had speculated about what it might do to the clubhouse having him back in the lineup, just back in the clubhouse in general. It seemed from all accounts, especially I remember Brian Snicker talking about it, that they essentially brought him up because they were watching him play in the minor leagues, and they were like, good grief, if he's going to play like that, might as well have him play with the big league club and not injure himself or just bring that potency to the big leagues. He's been good on the base paths. Good with the glove, but the bat definitely isn't there. And Joe, I'm not entirely sure that I can blame Ronald Acuna Jr. for this one, as the Braves continue to roll out this convoluted plan of right field for a day, DH for a day, take a day off, who knows? Like, I just don't know what we're going to get with Ronald Acuna. And it seems like maybe he doesn't either, and the numbers show he's getting no consistency.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, he said something telling last night to media up in New York that I thought was interesting, which was that I forget even the question that was posed to him. It was something about, you know, coming back from this injury and how much he's playing on all that stuff. And he said that, you know, like, whoa. Just like, remember, I have like not been doing a ton of baseball stuff. Like these are still some of my first baseball activities. So he's like, I'm feeling better. I feel like I'm improving every time. But I think it is kind of just a bit of a realization to hear that he, you know, is understanding himself that he's not the same Ronald Acuna yet. Obviously, he plans to get back there, and I'm sure he will be. But I think you can just forget that when you're down with that kind of injury that he had, you're just so limited in what you can do. And so when you get healthy again, healthy enough to play baseball, it's not necessarily as much as like, oh, well, you're healthy enough, then you go back out there and you're the same guy you always were. I think we're starting to see that. I think, and I don't think I'm saying anything that's, you know, some like breaking information. I think that everybody has kind of witnessed this as he's come back to be like, oh, okay, yeah, I kind of, it's a little disheartening because I think a lot of people were like expecting the injection of him into this lineup and just being that kind of all-star player at the top of that order and really stretching everything out. It's not that. It's not that yet. I think he is getting there. We're definitely seeing some flashes. He still looks good athletically, like, you know, like we saw in Gwinnett with him, you know, scoring on, you know, an infield single from second. He's doing some things. He had a really great, he evaded a pickle today, which was really cool and like a classic Ronnie thing. But just with the bat, you can just tell that there's going to be some time before before everything starts to get clicking for him. But he did hit 116-mile-an-hour double yesterday, which is great. I think that's a good sign that he's, you know, barreling up some balls, and I think he'll start hitting the homers here before too long. But yeah, it's not kind of the Ronald I think that a lot of people expected when they were, you know, hearing the news that Ronald Acuña Jr. is back with the Braves.
Well, that's why it feels so strange for me to feel this way, but it's just my honest opinion. I think the Braves' mismanagement of the situation is why we're seeing the results we're seeing from Ronald Acuña. I think this whole resting him thing, look, if he's healthy to play, he's got to be healthy to play. And that's not, you know, I'm not out here being Freddie Freeman and like he's got to go play every game for the rest of the season. But this whole plan of right field, DH, rest, right field, DH, rest, or sometimes back-to-back days of playing in right field. Like, I've noticed he plays better at the plate. Like, he is a better hitter when he's in the field. And a very small sample size. He's played, like, what, 5 games, 6 games, something so far?
Yeah.
I get very small sample size. However, every game that he's played in the field, he's hit better. And so I'm almost just like, just let him go, you know?
Yeah, and also, like, he's, I was mentioning earlier, his athleticism, which is on full display. Like, he looks perfectly healthy when he's, like, running the base paths and everything. Certainly, he's healthy to just, to be out there and essentially stand, mostly just kind of stand around in right field. I mean, that's most of what you're doing out there.
So my thing is, like, I understand, like, yesterday, doubleheader happens, and he doesn't play in the first game. That completely understandable, like giving a guy some rest, giving other guys some rest on this team. Travis DeMeritt not playing because he played 18 innings yesterday makes all the sense in the world. Like, give
the
guys.
If Freddie was on this team.
I know. Oh, I saw Braves Twitter. I mean, you're right, honestly, but
I think
the Braves
talk about that.
Need.
Yeah,
sure. But it's just this, like, I need them. I know they say they have a plan and they are enacting a form of a plan. I don't think it's a successful plan. I think he needs to be out there. And if you want to give him like every fourth day off, cool. But the guy's got to build up some consistency with his at-bats, and he's not getting that at the current rate that they are using him. And I have to, like, it can't continue like this. Like, I feel like they've got to change something up, as they have to do in a few other areas, but just Ronald Acuña specifically, he's got to be playing consistently. And I think he needs to be consistently playing out in the field. Lord knows what you do with DH.
So they'd put it out there, and we may have discussed this on our last... No, probably not, because he hadn't come back yet when we last recorded. But they said that he's not going to play on days when they travel. This is what they initially put out there. He's not going to play on days when they travel. He's not going to play a day game after a night game. So, to your point, that's why they held him out for the first game of that doubleheader. He did play today after playing the night game yesterday. He was the DH today. Yeah, so
I noticed.
So maybe that's some indication that they're kind of progressing on from their original, you know, declaration, which of course they have to. Like, at some point, at some stage, you have to advance to the next stage and like progress to do more. And that's what I'm wondering is like, when are they going to, when will they finally start playing him on a day they travel? When will they play him in right field three games in a row, four games, you know, however many games in a row? At some stage, you have to start advancing the rehab or recovery, whatever you want to call it, and get him in a more routine day-to-day situation where he kind of knows what to expect. And to your point, I think that will allow him to just get in a little better flow and play the kind of baseball that we know he can.
Yeah, adapt the plan. I think that's the big thing.
Yeah, adapt.
Like the Braves are definitely coming out and saying, we have a plan, but they've changed it at every turn. So it's just like, okay, this is the latest thing of your plan isn't working, you know, like at least for him offensively. And I think something's got to change, as is.
And all the caveats apply, because it only had, you know, it's been a week or whatever. So, and
yeah
I don't know. We'll see. But I think that it will, I think that they will start progressing him to doing more. And I think today may have been in some indication of that. So it'll be interesting to hear what Snit says to media this afternoon.
I hope so. I don't know where to go next as far as rotation. You look at the Braves rotation right now, and there's some guys that are really standing out. I think the biggest positive that I saw out of this last week is actually what we witnessed today with Ian Anderson. The fact that Ian Anderson can go out there and have, I would call it a solid outing. Still only like one strikeout in 5 1/3, and four walks. Strange. Very strange. However, you only give up one run. Cool. I'm cool with that. I think, you know, like that was a guy that I had said previously, like he and Kyle Wright had swapped roles. I was very uncomfortable with what was going on with him. But the question marks are some massive question marks when it comes to this rotation because of Charlie Morton. And what on earth do you do with the fifth starter now?
I'm worried about Charlie. I'm worried about what he said, not after his most recent start here in New York, but his previous start where he talked about, you know, not getting the feedback that he was expecting from the hitters. This was the game that you were at, right? This is the game that you were.
Yeah.
I think it was Acuña's first game, saying that, like, he feels like he's making good pitches, but not getting the feedback, a.k.a. they're still hitting the ball really hard when he thinks he's made a good pitch. Good news was that he came back, looked better in the game against New York. The Mets didn't really hit the ball hard on him. He really was just got a bunch of bad luck in that game. So you got to kind of take that with a grain of salt. But in my opinion, there still are some concerns with Morton. Now, he also said, and I totally agree with what he said, which is that if I were to give up when it got hard like this and I was a little bit confused, I would have been out of this league 10 years ago, you know? So he's definitely been in these situations before where he has to just, you know, go back to the drawing board and figure out some maybe new pitch sequencing or whatever it might be to give himself an advantage again. But I think there is a worry there. I think with Ian Anderson, again, what we saw today was really heartening to see him just keep on progressing, because it's one of those things where when you get a spring training cut so short like his was, you start the season poorly. Maybe that gets your confidence low because you start getting hit a little bit more than you're accustomed to. But I think it was better to see from him today. The one thing I will say, though, about his start today was it looked like, you know, his big strikeout pitch is this changeup. He'll throw it low and he gets swings and misses on it all the time. It's one of the best whiff rate pitches in all of baseball. And the Mets were just laying off of it today. And I wonder if he also, when we talk about pitch sequencing, if he can just do a better job of mixing in the changeup, not always throwing it just when he's got like a two strike count and he's trying to put a guy away, maybe mixing it up in some different situations and then trying to develop some other pitch, some other kind of put out pitch, put away pitch for him to finish off batters. But I just felt like the Mets were, knowing what he was going to throw, especially when they got down to two strikes. Fortunately, he was able to get out. You know, obviously he got out of his start only giving up one run today, so it was definitely a positive result. But just something to watch out there for Ian, but good sign for him.
Yeah, with going back to Morton, though, you know, you talk about guys laying off pitches. It seemed like that was happening with his curveball. Like, that is, you know, kind of his money pitch, and that he's not getting guys to chase stuff that he's been able to get in the past. And that was something that he did say after this most recent start, is just that, you know, essentially it was like it was improved, better, but still not getting the guys aren't afraid of the stuff that he's throwing, which is why I get concerned. And I tweeted out after a start, because yeah, you say it was improved. Like, I mean, it's one of those from what though, you know, it's
right,
like,
right.
You know, still giving up runs, and just not being a guy that can be depended on is something of concern. So I went in the, does this guy need to hit the injured list with some elbow inflammation or something like that, so that he can go get some side sessions? And
we're talking about Charlie here, right? Charlie.
Yes. Yeah. Talking about Charlie. Maybe work through something on the 10-day injured list, 15-day, you know, whatever, like however long he needs. However, that's not a possibility. They can't take him out of this rotation right now because they don't even have
who
a fifth starter.
Yeah.
So since we last talked, like, Bryce Elder is no longer a thing. And I think it's funny to anyone who had watched Bryce Elder outside of his first start, this was not a shock. This was in no way a surprise. You saw this coming. He was getting a lot of walks. The confidence wasn't there. And he just looked raw. You know, like, the talent just looks raw. It's one of those, go back to Gwinnett and figure it out. The idea of striking gold with Bryce Elder and Spencer Strider wasn't working. Then it's like, let's try out Kyle Muller. Yikes. That was worse. You know, like,
six like walks that, and like three something innings.
Yeah. Kyle Muller's start on Sunday is the type of thing that, like, you won't see him. You won't. It's May 4th. When would we see Kyle Muller again?
I don't know if you heard his media that he did after that game, but he was like, I didn't think it was that bad. I think there were two batters that I walked that were just bad walks, but other than that, I thought I was like around the plate. And it's like, oh, maybe. Yeah, I mean, maybe you do feel that way. And I mean, good for you. Like, you know, I understand trying to take the silver linings out of things, but
do you remember a former Braves pitcher? Do you remember a former Braves pitcher who did that 2 years ago? Mike Foltynewicz? Who was out here, you know, saying the stadium
in
radar
the
gun was wrong.
Oh my God.
You know, out here on.
Dude, I totally forgot about that. That is hilarious.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought when I heard Kyle Muller talk, as it was just like, oh, wow, we're going Mike Foltynewicz on the, like, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And what happened to Folty? Got him out of there, you know, like unfortunately, you know.
Yeah, and he's been very good not that long before. You know, they cut the cord quick there.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind.
I was gonna say, on the topic of Muller, you know, it's funny that you were talking about Elder, and I was gonna say it actually kind of reminds me of Muller in the fact that when Muller came up last year, he made a really good start, and then it progressively got worse from there, which is pretty much essentially what happened to Bryce Elder. And I think it's just something that happens with pitchers who come up to the major leagues, where you come up, you make your first start, and there's not really great, you know, scouting reports on you, especially when you're a guy like Bryce Elder, who hasn't even been in professional baseball for very long, let alone, you know, pitching in the majors. So, you know, probably got some breaks, and they didn't have a great scouting report on him, so had a good first start, and it's just kind of gone downhill from there. So hopefully he doesn't take the track of Kyle Muller in the way that Kyle Muller seems to have gone, but I don't want to, like, totally trash Muller, but hopefully he can go down to Gwinnett and, you know, figure out, again, pitch sequencing, work on some pitches, and, you know, develop himself, understand what major league players, how they're going to approach him, and then come back and be a better pitcher. But unfortunately for the Braves right now, they've got several pitchers that are kind of in that situation where they're like needing to improve themselves. So we've already talked about this with Waskar Yanoa, who obviously was sent down, I think, for that exact reason, to kind of work on his mechanics a little bit and become better. And then the guy that I have question marks about, who's been a total bizarro player to me so far this season, and why, and it's kind of shocking to me that he hasn't pitched yet for the Braves, is Touki Toussaint, a guy who has major league experience, who has been getting called up, but not like starting. Like he's been called up, I think, twice, I want to say, maybe only once.
Yeah.
Only for like, just like fill a roster spot for a day, basically, and then go back down.
When he pitched an inning,
a weird one.
He came up, pitched an inning,
okay,
in relief, and then it was just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I thought, because when they brought him up, I remember telling you, I was like, oh, I guess they're going to spot start him.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
just threw him for an inning and then threw him back down to Gwinnett. You know, it was one of those like yeah, that was really bizarre. My question is because like now we're at a place where they've got to figure out the fifth starter again. Like that is a question mark that they don't have figured out. For Friday's game, yeah. What? I'm sorry. Did Tucker Davidson just like step off the earth?
I think he might start.
What?
I think he might start that game. Maybe. I mean, it's probably, or they could bring Yanoa back up.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it all depends. Honestly, I think it all depends on how many days of rest, like what's their rotation in Gwinnett right now.
True.
However, yeah. I scratch my head and I go like, what? Like, I mean, Tucker Davidson made the team this year.
And yeah, then, I know, right?
Yeah. You know, just like disappeared. And I didn't think he was that bad. I just don't understand. I don't know if there's something behind the scenes that we're, you know, not privy to.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a big head scratcher for me. Whereas, you know, a guy like Kyle Muller, I think, you know, you kind of seen what you need to see from him to maybe make him, trade bait or something like that, but
yeah, Tucker's gotten a raw deal this year, man, and I hope he gets an opportunity to start because he deserves a chance to, you know, show the team what he can do from the spot where he feels like he is effective as a starter, not as like, you know, he gave up some runs when he came in that relief outing when he was like pitching mop up duty, and it's just a tough situation to come in when you were expected to be the next day's starter. That was obviously a couple weeks ago. So, I hope he gets an opportunity to start a game for this team, and we can see what he's got. I think on the positive side, Max Fried has really turned himself around, and now he's like, he feels like he's totally rolling like Max Fried style. Just now he feels like he's going to go out there and pretty much give you a gem. And then Kyle Wright too. Kyle Wright had his worst outing, of course, in that 3-0 loss last night against the Mets, but still was pretty damn good. Only made a couple of mistakes. was like almost perfect again. He just got knocked up for a couple more runs than he typically would. But again, I'm just really, really impressed with Kyle, and he's feeling to me like a bit of a stopper, you know, like and that's what he's kind of been for this team so far this season. You know, when you, Charlie Morton comes through his order, or Charlie Morton's spot comes up, loss, Ian Anderson loss, boom, there's Kyle Wright to kind of like put an end to the streak, which has been very much needed. And I think they were kind of feeling the effects of him not being able to get that win last night. It almost felt weird. Like, oh man, we lost a Kyle Wright start. Crap.
Well, I think that was what was so frustrating about it is the fact that he just got no run support. Like, honestly, not a bad start. You know, he went, what, 7 innings in that one? Gave up the 3 runs, but I don't know. I mean, like, watching it myself, didn't think there was anything there that was particular. Like, I saw no concerns. I saw a guy who maybe didn't have his best stuff.
Sure.
But
the strikeouts were down. I think he only had 3 in the game, as opposed to he's been striking a ton of guys this year. But yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean,
but the walks weren't there either. He only had one walk.
Exactly,
you know, like
exactly.
That was, I remember that standing out and kind of being like, I don't feel bad. You know, it's just one of those like, hey, that happens every now and then. I'm certainly not going to panic on it.
Obviously, Obviously, if I could choose, I would want Kyle Wright to go out there and throw seven innings and like strike out 10 and not give up any runs or whatever. But I was almost more encouraged by that start against New York, despite the fact that the Braves lost and everything. The fact that everything didn't go perfectly for Kyle and still he like got into his groove, like, you know, after he'd given up a home run stuff and was just cruising by the time he left that game, it seemed like he could keep going. Like he beat, you know, it was only for his pitch count that he came out of that game. Because he was just mowing guys down. And so that's great to see, because I feel like previous iterations of Kyle Wright, like that was kind of the thing with him, is like when things started to go tits up, pardon my French, I don't know if that's kosher or not to say, then, you know, that's when things really started to unravel for him. And it doesn't seem to be the case anymore. So I think that was a good sign.
Yeah. The other thing for, like, it's wild to me that, just think about this, Joe. We are at May 4th, 2022. A year ago, if somebody told you Kyle Wright's the second best pitcher on the Braves staff, yeah, like you'd have been like, oh no, they must terrible. He must be, you know, like it's one of those, like, how bad would things have to be for Kyle Wright to be the second best pitcher? He seven innings in his last two starts. His worst start, he threw five innings. You know, like that's like as far as not worst start, but the least amount of innings, like five innings, six innings, two, seven innings. Like, that is that's as much as you can count on a guy in this day and age of baseball. So it's a weird place to be. It makes me very uncomfortable, just because I never would have thought I'd see the day that Kyle Wright, and anyone who's out there who's like, oh, I saw it coming. No, you're a liar.
Yeah.
It's just a strange spot to be in.
So the optimistic view about this rotation, despite the fact that of all the concerns and struggles they've had that we've just documented here in this last 5-10 minutes, you've got Max Fried going. You're pretty solid with him. Like, you know what you're going to get from Max Fried, as long as he stays healthy, of course. I think Kyle Wright, we're seeing a pretty sustainable version of this. Knock on wood, but yeah. I mean, I'm pretty confident with what we've seen over the sample size. If Ian Anderson, he continues improving, if he kind of gets back to what we kind of know and expect Ian Anderson to be, and if Charlie Morton can, you know, get it together, you still have the makings of a solid rotation, and then you just you figure out who's going to be that fifth starter, and you've got plenty of competition for it. But I definitely think there's upside to this group that we've just talked about, despite the fact that we may have been kind of critiquing them on some of the struggles they've been having, at least some of them. There definitely is still upside for this rotation. So I don't want us to get too down on these guys, because there definitely are some bright spots.
That's fair. Now let's get into a little bit of the ugly. We don't have to spend too much time on this lineup, but I just wanted us to go, because we haven't done this yet this season, just player by player and concerned, not concerned, trending in the right way, trending in the wrong way. Like, what is going on with them? Because there've been some main guys to focus on, I think. You know, obviously the positive play of Austin Riley has shined. And then you think about, you know, some of the poor play from some of the other guys. It's just, I don't know. I want to look at where we are right now with this lineup. We've already talked about Ronald Acuna Jr. So moving past that, just
Matt
pick
Olson,
somebody, Joe.
Number two yeah, in the order, Matt Olson. How are we feeling? I'm a little concerned. I mean, I'm not concerned about what I expect him to be long term, just because of his track record and everything. But, you know, obviously he's got to be better than he's been over these last couple weeks. He started the season really hot, too. But I just feel like, I don't know, there's something about it. What, like, when he hits the ball hard and he, like, does something good, like, there's not anybody on base for him. And when there is people on base, then, you know, that's been kind of been the bugaboo for the Braves, obviously, this year, is not getting those hits with runners in scoring position. So, I'll just wrap it up by saying, I expected more at this point in the season. Is that too harsh? Is that too harsh to say?
No, I don't think it's harsh. I just...
His numbers are not bad. Like, his top line numbers are not bad.
That, I think that's the thing, is that I'm not that concerned, because is this not very Freddie-like to
True.
Be, I you know, and I hate making that comparison. It's just, it's what we're going to be doing for years to come. It's just the reality. But if you were to look at Freddie Freeman's numbers through the first month of the season into May, relatively similar. Actually, probably Matt Olson, maybe a little bit better, because Freddie usually starts out a little colder, except maybe for the MVP season, and obviously much shorter year in general. So I'm not concerned at all. I think it's just one of those... Braves fans probably did, and people in general probably did expect more from Matt Olson. Yeah. I didn't, and I think I was more shocked at his hot start. And so seeing this now, kind of like, okay, I think the home runs will catch up, and not hitting the panic button, as he said, actually, that he's not hitting the panic button yet. So that's fine.
Good to see him hit the ball hard a couple times these last couple days. So
yeah. Who's Austin next? Riley.
Well, we got Austin Riley. We talked about him last week. He's kind of the, once again, a dark horse MVP candidate.
Yeah.
And performing relatively similar, if not a little bit better than he was over the course of last season to start this year. So I've been ecstatic about the level of play that you've gotten from Austin Riley. I think he's second in the National League in home runs right now. What more could you ask for, you know?
The only thing I have to say about Austin Riley, I was wrong. I was wrong.
Same here. I mean,
didn't think he would do this. Now obviously you've got to keep it up, but I was wrong, and thank goodness, because Braves need that offense.
Yeah, no kidding.
Marcell Ozuna.
Yikes.
Here's the bad thing. So I actually I saw someone tweet out this week, do we need to start I think it was Chris Willis from they're not talking chop anymore.
Battery power.
Yep. Yeah. Great guy. Got to meet him in person last week. But Chris tweeted out, are we almost at the point of starting a countdown on Marcell Ozuna's contract?
Right.
And
yeah.
I was like, yikes. Like, a year ago, we would have been doing that for a very different reason. And now it's like, once again, I was wrong, because I thought this guy was going to be tearing the cover off the baseball coming off a year that he didn't play. So, no physical toll on his body. And started out the gates, I was like, whoo, I was right about this one. And you want to talk about a guy going cold. Like, that man is ice cold, and we need to start, chipping away at the ice block covering him, because, he ain't hitting the baseball. And if he does, it's not, not really happening offensively. And then we don't even have to talk about his defense, and yet he's still playing in left field. Yay.
Yeah, I'm just looking right now, and I'm looking at a minimal amount of hits since about the middle of April. It's not been good, and I don't know why my baseball reference is acting all funny on me right now. So the stats are not pulling up. But yeah, no, I mean, it's been rough, and obviously in the field as well. I mean, we talk about it all the time, but it's not been good. Okay, here it is. Yeah, he's batting he's batting 155 since April 18th with a solid 399 OPS. So he's been hitting fourth for you that whole time too.
Yeah.
So that is a recipe for a disaster. And I wonder how quickly Brian Snicker might move him out of that role, if this trend continues, because that's just brutal to have in that spot.
I think he's got to do something. I'm just afraid that Brian Snicker, he's playing both sides of the coin. He's doing the I know, something needs to change to shake up the guys, however, don't want to mess with the guy's confidence, and drop him in the order. It's time. They got to do something. Mm-hmm. Because then you go right behind him, Ozzie Albies. He ain't hitting either. you know, like, and thank goodness for his defense and surprisingly his leadership as of recent. He is taking on the role that I expected Dansby Swanson to take on with his team now that they're kind of looking for a leader.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's been Ozzie Albies, but he isn't hitting the ball either. And it's been pretty ugly so far.
Yeah, it has. I'm going to, just for craps and giggles, I'm going to pull his stats from the same exact date period, dates that I just pulled Marcell Ozuna. And for some reason, my baseball reference is just acting really slow. So we'll see. We'll see what the what that comes out to in a second. But I mean, yeah, he's hitting what, 218. I mean, it's funny because he's got the six homers. So like when you see six homers, like, oh, well. And I wonder how many of those are solo homers. I mean, they certainly feel like the least impactful homers that I can recall. So yeah, so he's hitting 220 during that same period where Marcell Ozuna was hitting 155. He has only four more hits than Ozuna in that spell. Some of his slugging numbers are a little bit better because he's got two home runs in that time. But yeah, it's not been great. But you know, to me that's how Ozzie has always been, to an extent, where he's just kind of streaky and then he'll probably pop for, you know, it seems like he hits home runs in bursts, so that might happen again. But it's tough to have these guys in the middle of your order.
Well, that's what, you know, you talk about shaking up the lineup and you think of the play of Ozzie Albies. I think Travis d'Arnaud right behind him is a guy who's got to slide up into that four spot. Travis d'Arnaud, just as consistent as you could ask for. A guy that, you know, you think about his injury past, and I'm shocked that we're at this point, but also, once again, thank goodness. Thank goodness that Travis has been consistent enough, because especially against the Mets, that first game against the Mets, like, he's the reason they won. Mm-hmm. And I love they Snit threw out the, like, former team card as a joke, and then a New York reporter asked him about it, and he was like, it means nothing. Like, he gave the man a terrible quote, and I loved it because it was just one of the, you know, he's getting asked by Bowman and Dave O'Brien all these other questions, and he's like, so, you know, Travis d'Arnaud really using the former team card? And so it was like, it means nothing, and just moves on. And it doesn't. It really doesn't. Like guys, yeah, I mean, maybe if you were to say, like, Bryce Harper against the Nats or something like that, maybe, you know, where there's, like, some long history or something like that. Yeah, no, there's nothing to Travis d'Arnaud. He's just been a model of consistency and is a guy that's definitely got to be a candidate for that four-hole spot.
I was just going to say, for the four-hole spot, totally agree. I could totally see Brian Snicker moving him there, even though he's not kind of your prototypical number four hitter. I mean, he's just performing the best, so for that reason. Yeah. But he's also Snicker has hit him cleanup before, so he's definitely not afraid to hit him in that spot. I would also say he's probably another one of these guys who's one of the team leaders. You don't really think about catchers so much because I think they're just like, because they're behind the mask, and you think of them more as being kind of a, you know, a tandem with the pitcher and things like that, which they definitely are, of course. But I think that d'Arnaud is another one of the leaders on this team, and kudos to him. I mean, he's been one of the best hitting catchers in the National League so far this season, hitting .313. That's not going to keep up, but yeah, you just can't say enough about what he's done so far this year, and catching a lot too. You know, he's not getting a ton of days off. Yeah. Manny Pena's been banged up, so kudos to Travis.
Yeah, and they still haven't quite figured out what they're doing with William Contreras. So, you're right. It has been really beneficial, especially for, like, a guy at his age.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to get him some relief. Haven't been able to do so far early in the season, but also can't really afford to take that bat out of the lineup so far. Yeah. So that's been big.
Since you mentioned him, which I just want to talk about Contreras real quick and just mention the fact that he did hit two home runs in a game against the Rangers. The bat looks good. He's definitely got power, and I still don't love him behind the plate. I feel like when he gets behind the plate, no. you see the ball getting away from him and stuff, kind of the same old issues that he's had defensively. But man, I love to see the bat, and I would love to get that in as the DH sometime, or maybe even out in left field. Like, I know he's been taking grounders at third. I think they said he's been taking some fly balls, though, too. And if you get a strong arm out there in left field and in place of Ozuna, that would be nice. It would be nice to see, at least. Yeah, I just wanted to mention
one
that.
Of the, no, I'm completely with you on this. Like, I mean, you see Ozuna's defensive play, and it's I just can't imagine Contreras being that much worse, especially the upside that he has with his bat. You got to do something. You got to get him out there in the outfield, because go to the next guy, Adam Duvall, also not hitting very well. Thank goodness for his performance today against the Mets.
Yeah.
But it all mostly came from a single inning that everyone was really hitting. So is that an outlier?
I feel like
he's been
saved by the fact that nobody else is hitting, and he's been kind of one of the more reliable defensive outfielders that you've got. So by virtue of that, he's just kind of kept his position. But I mean, it's been really, really
pretty
rough
much
at the plate.
Yeah, 191 so far. Like, it's just, it's bad. This is not the Adam Duvall that the Braves traded for at the deadline. You know, like
Dansby was taking the heat off of him when Dansby was striking out so much, and nobody realized that that Duvall was striking out pretty much just as often, maybe a little bit less, but he's right there
now,
in terms of league leading strikeouts.
But now Dansby, I feel like, is trending up.
Definitely.
Ever since last Thursday's game, when he hit a home run against the Cubs, it feels like he's been trending up. I know it's, you know, he's not consistent by any stretch of the imagination, but he definitely feels on his way up. And a guy who, like, I'm at a point, I'm not picking on him like I was previously with the strikeouts and everything like that, because it was just like everything was bad a couple weeks ago, and now we're at least okay, you know, like we're back to like average Dansby play, which you'll take right now.
Exactly.
Honestly, you'll take it.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. Is that, yeah, you're just getting what you would expect from him at this point, which is fine. If you get what you expect from Dansby, that's what you're asking for, you know?
Yeah, and then, I mean, Travis DeMeritt is kind of bunched in there with Guillermo Heredia, you know, guys who are kind of in and out of the outfield, depending on what the Braves do with their lineup. Travis DeMeritt's been a massive lift for the Braves, a guy who, how on earth are they relying on his offense the way that they have been? It's just wild. And also just kind of sets up the season so far is like Travis DeMeritt, dependable hitter in the Braves lineup in 2022. Feels gross, feels weird. However, I love his playing style and his just like love for the game. I don't know. You know, you just kind of fall in love with guys. And I don't know that I've seen anyone become a fan favorite as fast as I've seen Travis DeMeritt become a fan favorite.
He's got that dog in him.
He's got that dog. There we go. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it is. I mean,
there's something.
He's kind of like your classic guy who's just, you know, you always love to see a player who just seems like he's been a hard worker, stayed with it, has been through his ups and downs. You just can't help but be happy for a player that to come up to the major leagues and have success, even if it only ends up being for a little bit, just to kind of see him come up and be able to provide some value for the Braves, and especially when they've needed it. And he's been, you know, pivotal to a couple wins that they've had so far this season. So even if that's all you end up getting out of Travis DeMeritt, it's probably worth it. I mean, you know, the guy was basically, you know, didn't have any options left in Major League Baseball. And, you know, here he is with the Braves, a team that he played with. And, you know, he's played with a lot of these guys who came up who are now kind of starring for the Braves. He played, you know, with Max Fried in Mississippi and that kind of group. So they know him. And I think that that allows him to also perform well with this group. And so it's been great to see that. I continue with Heredia. He's just a spark, man. Like,
yeah,
sometimes, you know, the stats, I don't even know what they are, to be perfectly honest, but it just seems like he can make things happen. Today he made a great catch out in right field, kind of
incredible, climbed the wall.
Yeah, he climbed the wall. I don't know if he actually robbed the home run. I think he kind of like got up like he was the ball kind of didn't end up traveling as far as he thought it was going to, but it was still an incredible catch just to deal with the wall in that situation and make that grab. And he just, you know, makes things happen on the base pass. He just, you know, runs out everything as hard as he can. And those players can give other teams fits sometimes, and you always need somebody like that. So I still like what I see from Heredia. He's kind of in the perfect, he's the perfect player for the role that he is. He knows the role that he fits on the team. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm generally encouraged by what he's shown this year. You just hope you don't have to depend too much on him. You know, that's the real issue.
Yeah, I think it's one of those. He is a more dependable panda, you know, like mm-hmm, what yeah. we got last year. Why can I not think of his name?
Pablo Sandoval?
Pablo Sandoval, thank you.
Not the same profile, obviously, but in terms of filling a role. Yeah, yeah.
As like team mascot, but also a guy you can count on, you know?
Yeah,
Like it sounds bad to say, but I mean, you know, like I'm sure you like you see it in the clubhouse. I've only been to one game in the clubhouse, and you see you know, some of the other Dominican players like answering questions, and he's going over there as like a bodyguard. Like he's just like a fun mm-hmm. keeping the spirits alive. They got the sword slash that they've kept going. You need that, and it also helps when that guy can, okay, maybe not rob a home run, but he sure climbed the wall and got up there and got an out that you aren't getting from most of the Braves outfielders. So
oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
You know, yeah. So it's one of those sorts of things that that good to see, and I'm not going to make any more of it than what we've got. It's not something to be frustrated about. Like it's actually a nice bonus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that kind of wraps us as awkward and as strange. So that's fine.
Good to see him hit the ball hard a couple times these last couple days. So
yeah.
Who's
Austin
next?
Riley.
Well, we got Austin Riley. We talked about him last week. He's kind of the, once again, a dark horse MVP candidate.
Yeah.
And performing relatively similar, if not a little bit better than he was over the course of last season to start this year. So I've been ecstatic about the level of play that you've gotten from Austin Riley. I think he's second in the National League in home runs right now.
Yeah.
What more could you ask for, you know?
The only thing I have to say about Austin Riley, I was wrong. I was wrong.
Same here. I mean,
didn't think he would do this. Now, obviously, you've got to keep it up, but I was wrong, and thank goodness, because Braves need that offense.
Yeah, no kidding.
Marcell Ozuna.
Yikes.
Here's the bad thing. So, I actually I saw someone tweet out this week, do we need to start I think it was Chris Willis from they're not talking chop anymore.
Shout out Chris.
Battery power.
Yep.
Yeah, great guy. Got to meet him in person last week. But Chris tweeted out, are we almost at the point of starting a like countdown on Marcell Ozuna's contract?
Right.
And
yeah.
I was like, yikes. Like a year ago, we would have been doing that for a very different reason. And now it's like, once again, I was wrong because I thought this guy was going to be tearing the cover off the baseball coming off a year that he didn't play. So the, you know, no physical toll on his body, and started out the gates. I was like, whoo, I was right about this one. And you want to talk about a guy going cold? Like, that man is ice cold, and we need to start, you know, chipping away at the ice block covering him, because I mean, he ain't hitting the baseball, and if he does, it's not, you know, not really happening offensively. And then we don't even have to talk about his defense, and yet he's still playing in left field. Yay.
Yeah, I'm just looking right now, and I'm looking at a minimal amount of hits since about the middle of April. It's not been good. And I don't know why my baseball reference is acting all funny on me right now. So I'm not, the stats are not pulling up. But yeah, no, I mean, it's been rough. And obviously in the field as well. I mean, we talk about it all the time, but it's not been good. Okay, here it is. Yeah, he's batting he's batting 155 since April 18th with a solid 399 OPS. So he's been hitting fourth for you that whole time too.
Yeah.
So that is a recipe for disaster. And I wonder how quickly Brian Snicker might move him out of that role, you know, if this trend continues, because that's just brutal to have in that spot.
I think he's got to do something. I'm just afraid that, well, Brian Snicker, he's playing both sides of the coin. He's doing the, like, I know, you know, something needs to change to shake up the guys. However, don't want to mess with the guy's confidence and, you know, drop him in the order. It's time. They got to do something. Mm-hmm. Because then you go right behind him, Ozzy Albies. He ain't hitting either. You know, like, and thank goodness for his defense and, surprisingly, his leadership as of recent. He is taking on the role that I expected Dansby Swanson to take on with his team now that they're kind of looking for a leader.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's been Ozzy Albies, but he isn't hitting the ball either, and it's been pretty ugly so far.
Yeah, it has. I'm going to, just for craps and giggles, I'm going to pull his stats from the same exact date periods that I just pulled Marcell Ozuna, and for some reason my baseball reference is just acting really slow. So we'll see what that comes out to in a second. But I mean, yeah, he's hitting what, 218? I mean, it's funny because he's got the six homers. So like when you see six homers, like, oh, well. And I wonder how many of those are solo homers. I mean, they certainly feel like the least impactful homers that I can recall. So yeah, so he's hitting 220 during that same period where Marcell Ozuna was hitting 155. He has only four more hits than Ozuna in that spell. Some of his slugging numbers are a little bit better because he's got two home runs in that time. But yeah, it's not been great. But you know, to me, that's how Ozzy has always been, to an extent, where he's just kind of streaky, and then he'll probably pop for, you know, it seems like he hits home runs in bursts. So that might happen again. But it's tough to have these guys in the middle of your order.
Well, that's what, you know, you talk about shaking up the lineup and you think of the play of Ozzy Albies. I think Travis d'Arnaud right behind him is a guy who's got to slide up into that four spot. Travis d'Arnaud, just as consistent as you could ask for. A guy that, you know, you think about his injury past, and I'm shocked that we're at this point, but also, once again, thank goodness. Thank goodness that Travis has been consistent enough, because especially against the Mets, that first game against the Mets, like, he's the reason they won.
Mm-hmm.
And I love they Snit threw out the, like, former team card as a joke. And then a New York reporter asked him about it, and he was like, it means nothing. Like, he gave the man, like, a terrible quote, and I loved it because it was just one of the, you know, he's getting asked by Bowman and Dave O'Brien all these other questions, and guys like, so, you know, Travis d'Arnaud really using the former team card? And so it was like, it means nothing, and just moves on. And it doesn't. It really doesn't. Like guys, you know, I mean, maybe if you were to say, like, Bryce Harper against the Nats or something like that, maybe, you know, where there's like some long history or something like that. Yeah, no, there's nothing to Travis d'Arnaud. He's just been a model of consistency and is a guy that's definitely got to be a candidate for that four hole spot.
I was just gonna say for the four hole spot, totally agree. I could totally see Brian Snicker moving him there, even though he's not kind of your prototypical number four hitter. I mean, he's just performing the best, so for that reason. Yeah. But he's also Snicker has hit him cleanup before, so he's definitely not afraid to hit him in that spot. I would also say he's probably another one of these guys who's one of the team leaders. You don't really think about catchers so much because I think they're just like, because they're behind the mask, and you think of them more as being kind of a, you know, a tandem with the pitcher and things like that, which they definitely are, of course. But I think that D'Arnaud is another one of the leaders on this team. And kudos to him. I mean, he's been one of the best hitting catchers in the National League so far this season, hitting .313. That's not going to keep up. But yeah, you just can't say enough about what he's done so far this year. And catching a lot, too. You know, he's not getting a ton of days off. Yeah. Manny Pena has been banged up. So kudos to Travis.
Yeah, and they still haven't quite figured out what they're doing with William Contreras. So you're right. It has been really beneficial, especially for like a guy at his age.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to get him some relief, haven't been able to do so far early in the season, but also can't really afford to take that bat out of the lineup so far. Yeah. And so that's been big.
Since you mentioned him, I just want to talk about Contreras real quick and just mention the fact that he did hit 2 home runs in a game against the Rangers. The bat looks good. He's definitely got power, and I still don't love him behind the plate. I feel like when he gets behind the plate, you see the ball getting away from him and stuff, kind of the same old issues that he's had defensively. But man, I love to see the bat, and I would love to get that in as the DH sometime, or maybe even out in left field. Like, I know he's been taking grounders at third. I think they said he's been taking some fly balls, though, too. And if you get a strong arm out there in left field and in place of Ozuna, that would be nice. It would be nice to see, at least.
Yeah,
I just wanted to mention
that. No, I'm completely with you on this. Like, I mean, you see Ozuna's defensive play, and it's I just can't imagine Contreras being that much worse. Especially the upside that he has with his bat. You got to do something. You got to get him out there in the outfield. Because go to the next guy, Adam Duvall, also not hitting very well. Thank goodness for his performance today against the Mets.
Yeah.
But it all mostly came from a single inning that everyone was really hitting. So is that an outlier?
I feel like
he's been
saved by the fact that nobody else is hitting, and he's been kind of one of the more reliable defensive outfielders that you've got. So by virtue of that, he's just kind of kept his position. But I mean, it's been really, really
pretty
rough
much
at the plate.
Yeah, 191 so far. Like, it's bad. This is not the Adam Duvall that the Braves traded for at the deadline. You know, like.
Dansby was taking the heat off of him when Dansby was striking out so much, and nobody realized that Duvall was striking out pretty much just as off, maybe a little bit less, but he's right there
Terms
of league lead in strikeouts.
But now Dansby, I feel like, is trending up.
Definitely.
Ever since last Thursday's game, when he hit a home run against the Cubs, it feels like he's been trending up. I know it's, you know, he's not consistent by any stretch of the imagination, but he definitely feels on his way up. And a guy who, like, I'm at a point, I'm not picking on him like I was previously with the strikeouts and everything like that, because it was just like everything was bad a couple weeks ago, and now we're at least okay, you know, like we're back to like average Dansby play, which you'll take right now.
Exactly.
Honestly, you'll take it.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. Is that, you're just getting what you would expect from him at this point, which is just fine. If you get what you expect from Dansby, that's what you're asking for, you know?
Yeah, and then, I mean, Travis DeMeritt is kind of bunched in there with Guillermo Heredia, you know, guys who are kind of in and out of the outfield, depending on what the Braves do with their lineup. Travis DeMeritt's been a massive lift for the Braves, a guy who, how on earth are they relying on his offense the way that they have been? It's just wild. And also just kind of sets up the season so far is like Travis DeMeritt, dependable hitter in the Braves lineup in 2022. Feels gross, feels weird. However, I love his playing style and his just like love for the game. I don't know. You know, you just kind of fall in love with guys. And I don't know that I've seen anyone become a fan favorite as fast as I've seen Travis DeMeritt become a fan favorite.
He's got that dog in him.
He's got that dog. There we go. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it is. I mean,
there's something.
He's kind of like your classic guy who's just, you know, you always love to see a player who just seems like he's been a hard worker, stayed with it, has been through his ups and downs, and you just can't help but be happy for a player that to come up to the major leagues and have success, even if it only ends up being for a little bit, just to kind of see him come up and be able to provide some value for the Braves, and especially when they've needed it, and he's been, you know, pivotal to a couple wins that they've had so far this season. So even if that's all you end up getting out of Travis DeMeritt, it's probably worth it. I mean, you know, the guy was basically, you know, didn't have any options left in Major League Baseball. And, you know, here he is with the Braves, a team that he played with. And, you know, he's played with a lot of these guys who came up who are now kind of starring for the Braves. He played, you know, with Max Fried in Mississippi and that kind of group. So they know him. And I think that that allows him to also perform well with this group. And so it's been great to see that. I continue with Heredia. He's just a spark, man. Like, sometimes, you know, the stats, I don't even know what they are, to be perfectly honest, but it just seems like he can make things happen. Today, he made a great catch out in right field.
Incredible. Climbed the wall.
Yeah, he climbed the wall. I don't know if he actually robbed the home run. I think he kind of, like, got up like he was, the ball kind of didn't end up traveling as far as he thought it was going to, but it was still an incredible catch just to deal with the wall in that situation and make that grab. And he just, you know, makes things happen on the base pass. He just, you know, runs out everything as hard as he can. And those players can give other teams fits sometimes, and you always need somebody like that. So I still like what I see from Heredia. He's kind of in the perfect, he's the perfect player for the role that he is. He knows the role that he fits on the team. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm generally encouraged by what he's shown this year. You just hope you don't have to depend too much on him. You know, that's the real issue.
Yeah, I think it's one of those. He is a more dependable panda, you know, like what we got last year. Why can I not think of his name?
Pablo Sandoval.
Thank you.
Not the same profile, obviously, but in terms of filling a role.
All.
Yeah, yeah.
As like team mascot, but also a guy you can count on. You know,
like
it sounds bad to say, but I mean. You know, like, I'm sure, like, you see it in the clubhouse. I've only been to one game in the clubhouse, and you see, you know, some of the other Dominican players, like, answering questions, and he's going over there as, like, a bodyguard. Like, he's just, like, a fun, keeping the spirits alive. They got the sword slash that they've kept going. You need that, and it also helps when that guy can, okay, maybe not rob a home run, but he sure climbed the wall and got up there and got an out that...
Yeah.
You aren't getting from most of the Braves outfielders, so
yeah, 100%.
You know, yeah. So it's one of those sorts of things that that good to see, and I'm not going to make any more of it than what we've got. It's not something to be frustrated about. Like it's actually a nice bonus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that kind of wraps us as awkward and as strange of a week it's been, as inconsistent of a week it's been, that the Braves lineup, the Braves pitching staff, everyone's kind of all over the place, and it leaves you in a really strange spot of like, yeah, I don't know what to make of it. So
Listen, I gave a pretty pessimistic interview to the morning show today. I still am not feeling great about this team as it stands, but, you know, again, it's still early in the season. There's still a lot of things that have to play out. The Braves have to improve in certain areas. They need certain players to start giving them production or things won't turn around. But, you know, yeah, we just wanted to kind of check in on the whole team. We've been doing it week to week with the rotation, which we'll probably continue to do just because they always, you know, we always end up seeing them once before we record. But good to, I think, every once in a while just kind of go through the team and get a status check of where everybody is.
Yeah, and a big question mark on the team. Like I said, that's where I'm at, Joe, where this team is, that just a question mark. Like I said earlier, anything that you say about this team is probably right. And so maybe we get some more questions answered in a stretch of games that the Braves get to come home, you know, like Maybe coming home eases things a bit. However, there's some powerhouse teams that, at least I would say powerhouse teams, that the Braves are about to face. Maybe not so much the Brewers, but the Red Sox and the Padres for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. are a couple of teams that, you know, they're going to be there in the postseason. And so if the Braves wanting to match up well, I fully expect the Mets to be in the postseason this year based on how they're playing so far.
Yeah.
We got the test, which was, you know, a little even, maybe, but you at least split the series. So now this next week is kind of figuring out, okay, are you as good as some teams that will definitely be in the postseason? And hopefully we get some questions answered and we get some consistency. I think that'd be the main thing. Anything else you want to get to before we get out of here?
No, I just want to see this team win series, you know, just keep winning series. Before we get out of here, just want to thank everybody for listening. We appreciate, you know, everybody who listens to the show, and we love doing it. So thank you. Thank you, everybody, for making this fun for us.
Yeah, for sure. So for my co-host, Joe Patrick, I'm Caleb Johnson. Thanks for listening to Batter Up.